Sledge Lords, let's get right into it. You watch Kids?
I watched Kids. I watched, to be specific, three kids contract before 9 a.m. this morning.
Wait, you and watched this movie this morning?
I watched it this morning. I did my homework assignment really, really late because I'm a bit of a procrastinator.
That's tight.
Yeah, this Adam has been begging me to watch this 1995 cult classic film called Kids.
I saw it for the first time when I was probably 12. And, you know, I'm living in this very suburban environment. You know, I'm just dealing with a lot of, like, very regular suburban New Hampshire stuff. And then I watch this documentary, movie, whatever. It's a movie. And I watch it, and I really start to realize what life is like for these cool-ass kids living their life in New York City. And it made me so envious and jealous of how much cooler their lives were.
Uh-huh.
And it really kind of set me off on like there's many moments throughout my childhood where I realized like, oh, I need to be in a big city.
Yes.
And this was like a very important one.
This is concerning to me that you watched that movie and your only takeaway at 12 was I'm missing out. I want to be like them. So, Michael, you're going to have to censor a lot of stuff right now.
I didn't want to get. I just wanted to flirt with the possibility of getting.
And there's a distinction there. Yeah. You didn't want to constantly use the N-word and do illicit drugs. You just wanted to flirt with the ability to do that.
It's crazy because I moved to New York in 2003. So it was a mere 8 years after that movie came out that I moved there. And I can confirm that every white kid said the N-word at the time that I moved there. Although I don't think that that's as much of the case these days.
It was actually, the movie, it seemed like sort of progressive that all these white kids were using the N-word right in front of black people and the black people didn't care. It seems to me more segregation-y that now only black people can say it.
Yeah, it was a wild time. But what I think you're missing out on is that, you know who Harold Hunter was before this?
No.
Okay.
Is he one of the actors in the film?
Rest in peace. Yeah, he's like the really charismatic black dude who's like skater. He's not in the movie that much.
Yeah, he's the guy who does, he shakes his wee-wee around and makes a clap, clap, clap noise.
Yes, he does.
I've seen his face before. He's got a really recognizable face.
He's in skateboard media, he's very celebrated.
Was he a skater?
Yeah.
Well, he was good?
He was pro.
Oh, who'd he ride for?
I forget.
The film, I think we should do a little, just to give people an idea of what's going on. We should give them a little plot summary.
Okay.
Maybe
I would like to hear your version of it.
Maybe like a little role play. I was thinking, like, I'm the main guy who has and you're Casper, the guy who has a 40 in every scene.
Well, I thought Casper is the one who gives Jenny.
Casper is, he does it, he gets at the end. He gets it.
Oh, you're right. He bangs her and she already has it.
Yes.
Yes.
He
I haven't seen it in probably 20 years. Yes, you're right.
But this is, the dialogue is like this, and there are scenes that last 5 minutes. Again, Sid, Michael, somebody's going to have to edit this, but he's like, yeah, if you want to make go pop, you got to get your fingers in there, bitch. I'm trying to de-virginize another chick tonight. Let's get up. Let's go to the skate park. Let's beat ass. I'm going to get some it feels so good.
I don't even think they had a skate park in New York at that time.
Yeah, they just went to Washington Square Park and just hit the ledges.
It was flat ground. I mean, were there even ledges? Maybe you could like hop over a bench or something?
It looked like they had some obstacles.
Yeah.
The film, though, at first it was just this nihilist vision of the youth. Like, I thought the director and the writer were advocating the stuff I was seeing
as
on screen.
A kid, I really liked the fact that they would just on the street, mad people walking by, and that they didn't give. Because in New Hampshire, that kind of thing, you know, we would sneak off to the woods to while we were out and about or whatever.
Which, oh, absolutely. You
know, but they were just out in the open. I love that.
You love that. That's what...
that was important.
I mean, never mind the scene later on in the film.
I'm
the
not
real
endorsing
act of rebellion.
Any specific behavior. Yeah, I was
the pissing,
more into
you
the
are
urinating,
endorsing.
Yes.
That's okay. Mm. We can endorse that. We can endorse, you know, occasionally if somebody steps to you at the local park, you and 16 other kids can beat the out of them. We're not endorsing...
we want that kill to be
But... I watched the guy de-virginize. The main character is this slimy, like proto pickup artist, 16-year-old.
And his 16 move, in the movie?
I think everybody's underage.
Wow.
And the movie got criticized for that because I'm pretty sure you're staring at underage boy in the opening
when they
credits
go
of the
swimming
film.
And stuff.
That's all the sex scenes.
I remember my mom going to see this a couple years before I saw it, and my mom, you know, thought that she was like a a smart woman, a real cosmopolitan who was going to be able to appreciate this new edgy film that was making the rounds and everything. And I remember her just coming home deeply upset.
Yes.
Because of the realization that these were the things that were awaiting her children.
Yes.
And in reality, it was almost worse. But yeah.
And you don't. I feel like the again, the writer and the director seem to be advocating this lifestyle. And I felt but I felt that way all the way up until the very last like 1/100th of the movie. At first I thought it was really dark because the basic plot of the movie is kid who loves de-virginizing chicks. He has HIV and he doesn't know. A girl he de-virginized gets tested, realizes she has it, and then she wants to find him. She's looking for him throughout the course of the movie. Meanwhile, he is on a crash course to de-virginize another girl. The climax comes, he's about to de-virginize her, and the girl with HIV is at the party looking for him, and you think, she's going to intervene. She's going to tell him, listen, asshole, you gave me a life-threatening disease, and you better stay away from that angelic, pure woman, because you're about to give it to her, too. I thought that's how the movie was going to end, but she gets there too late, or rather, she sees him having sex and then just apathetically goes and passes out on the couch. The new girl gets de-virginized and gets HIV, and I thought, wow, this is one of the most tragic movies I've ever seen.
But you know what it's like? It's like the way that all these like skinhead dudes will like watch American History X, and it's one of their favorite movies,
yes,
and they can just completely not think about the fact that at the end of the movie, you kind of get to see the consequences of living this hate-filled life.
Yes.
And for myself as a young person, I watched this movie and saw basically just a bunch of dudes having sex and hanging out and just really living this like hedonistic lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I was unbelievably attracted to it and was completely able to ignore all the negative consequences that were on display
as
well.
Sure. And the only sign from the director and writer that they don't agree with this lifestyle is like this weird flashback that you almost certainly don't remember after it being 20 years of seeing the film.
Right.
But there's a little sequence in the next morning where they go out and there's a car and the director or the cinematographer has got his camera out the window and they're just filming various people doing things in New York. And they cut from a 16-year-old kid looking like he's nodding out on junk to some 60, 70-year-old healthy adults doing Tai Chi in a park. They cut back to a crazy homeless woman. Then they cut again to a man jogging. And that, to me, represented like, hey, you're going to end up as one of these groups of people. Which one is it going to be for you? And then the kid Casper, who's got the 40, who's like, oh, man, you beat up that pussy last night. You're so cool, dude. He, at the end, wakes up after having raped a chick and gotten HIV from her and goes, Jesus Christ, what happened? And one of the kids earlier in the film was wearing the cross, talking about Jesus Christ a little bit. So I think the writer was, these kids need Jesus, is what he was saying.
The dude, the director, what's his name? Larry? I forget.
Huh? Harmony's the writer. Larry something's the director.
But I think he somehow went to New York and got to spend some time around these kids, because like a very large percentage of the actors in the movie are just actual young-ass kids who were hanging out in New York City at that time, which is pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah. It seemed like that. Just grabbing these kids, making their career. And the chicks, like two of the chicks in particular, were like big movie stars after that.
But I don't think you could make this movie anymore.
You don't think you could make... Well, I mean...
You could hire actors to do it. But the fact that these were kids who were actually living this lifestyle and that they were actually involved in it, I think you need now to make a similar film. Because like, what's the real difference between this and Euphoria? It's not that significant.
What's Euphoria?
You haven't even heard of it?
Give me a little breakdown.
Oh, my God.
Give me a little breakdown. What, is there more kids having sex?
Yeah.
I mean, I can picture it.
It's basically like one of the most popular shows on TV right now. It's on HBO. It's about, a bunch of kids who are like in high school living this crazy-ass drug-fueled lifestyle.
I mean, it sounds
But they're grown-ass women, but they're hot as shit, and they're naked in the show.
Okay.
But they're playing underage kids, so that could be a little weird.
I think these kids are actually underage in kids, which... In kids, underage kids,
but they're not
fucking
naked.
Other kids, dude. You see titties.
Yeah,
you
but see the titties, titties can't belong to underage kids.
You can have titties when you're 13 years old.
I know, but you can't put them in a movie.
They might have done it. They might have done it.
No way.
It's pretty shady, dude.
1995. They already had a pretty straight. But you are talking about the era in which the Nirvana Nevermind album cover came out with that
full frontal
baby penis on there.
I think it's kind of. It's not that small. Also, the director, or rather the writer of the film, Kids, he wrote a letter in support of Roman Polanski, too. I did see that, which is a little strike against my theory that he is not advocating what's taking place in the film.
Right. I need to do more of a deep dive on Kids now, because now you're making me wonder to what extent. Like, because this is the same dude who made Spring Breakers and all this other crazy shit, right? His camera looks like it's going to fucking fall over.
Get on it,
Mike. That out.
Get on
it,
Mike.
Look how uneven this tripod is.
And I didn't want to say anything when it happened earlier, Adam.
What?
But you really got to tell your staff to cool it on getting me to promote product, okay?
You know,
I'm not a billboard.
Onsomeshit.com, this new hoodie, yeah.
Somebody better write me a check, a sizable one.
Yeah.
Because this is my mindset.
That's a brand deal.
I wanted to walk in here this morning. I really love this hoodie right here. That
Bryn gave you.
That Bryn gave me, 1025. It's her brand. I really love this. My girlfriend was like, what's that hoodie? It looks really good. And that's me having a cool hoodie is a rarity. So I was going to rock this. Phil, he demands that I wear this. And I'm like, you know what? This is tough because people in the office are not happy with me right now. It's no secret.
Do you have that feeling? I don't think anyone's mad at you.
Maybe.
Why would anyone have anything bad to say about you here?
Okay. I don't know who to do a favor for. Bryn or Phil?
Right.
Who do you think it should be?
I think systematically, probably Bryn.
Systematically?
Phil, because of systemic racism. Phil is Mexican, so it's not.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a...
But he passes for white.
He does pass.
And that's what really matters here, right?
He's got a lot of tattoos, and I was thinking white supremacist. And so I really didn't want to wear his hoodie.
If the Proud Boys have taught us anything, it's that being Latino isn't going to stop you from joining a hate group.
Yeah.
It's still totally possible.
But this hoodie is awesome.
Almost recommended. Onsomeshit.com.
Onsomeshit.com?
Right.
Okay.
And
again, this is not going to be a free endorsement, but I'm happy to be decked out.
Well, yeah. Thank you for throwing that in there. And also putting your coffee on the couch cushion as opposed to the arm handle there, because you, as a joke teller, you might do a lot of sort of arm waving and stuff that might knock the coffee over.
You're an admirer of my physical comedy. I appreciate that, but don't try to make me feel bad for spilling coffee on this very inexpensive couch. Okay.
Lush was in here fingering Carmen Karma on this couch,
you bastard.
Well, actually, I think he was seated here.
Bastard. You let me sit in this soiled couch,
a man
your co-host?
Was beaten there. A man was beaten within an inch of his life in that seat.
I like that, actually.
And a woman was fingered to the extent where she ovulated.
It put her into ovulation?
Yes.
Did she conceive a child right after?
That is the nature of Lush's finger bang game.
Wow. That must be tremendous.
He's very talented.
Okay. Well, this couch, I demand you get a new one because, you know, I'm a big deal. And I don't want to be sitting on a pussy juice and Lush's fingernail dust.
I think you do. I think you have nothing against that. I'm just going to throw out something that I watched on Saturday night. There's a show on Netflix. It's a Korean show. It's almost like a real-life version of Squid Games. It's like Squid Games, if it sort of made sense and was like an acceptable thing you do in society, they get all the biggest, strongest people in Korea, which you would imagine is not... Well, there's a few obvious steroid users amongst the men. Amongst the women, there might also be a few obvious steroid users, or at least these are the most massive women you've ever seen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a bunch of gymnasts, just tons of different people, right? And the idea is that they're going to take these like hundreds and hundreds of people and they're going to cut it down to one, and they're going to find out who's the fittest person in Korea.
Hmm.
And the first thing they did is that they have like a whole set of like bars. Everybody's holding on to these bars, right? And then the floor cuts out. And there's a fucking pool. The bars go up in the air. And the contest is like, who can hold themselves up in the air the longest? One of the guys held himself up there for 15 fucking minutes, dude. But this is the thing. You can put the bar like under your arms.
Yeah.
You can kind of hang over it like that.
You can't get on top of it, though. You can't sit on it.
You can't use your legs. I noticed that nobody used their legs. So that must be off limits.
Is there anything in the water?
No.
Because Korea...
But there's a guy, it's just like a pool, but there's a guy who's making sure that once you fall down, that you don't fall and hit someone else who's down there, which this occurs to me as something that might not happen this way in America, because I don't think Americans could trust each other to not fall down and kick each other in the head.
Absolutely not. And also, I love that they're starting to export these shows to Korea, because you know in Korea there's no like concern for safety and equity, and there's no kids who just graduated from college with like a degree in feminism. So you can really like get pretty gnarly with these game shows.
And the majority of the first episode is literally just a bunch of Korean people walking up to each other in this room and just talking to each other about how great their bodies are. Just like, wow, you're so big and strong. Like, just,
yeah.
It's just like pure full frontal like hot body admiration.
Love it.
Followed by a physical task that you would not believe how comfortable this one gymnast dude was up there.
Love
He's just chilling. Just posted up.
Love
looking
it.
Like nothing was going on.
Just not a fucking, not a single digit body fat anywhere on him.
Exactly. I'm not sure that I'm going to watch any more of this show because it was kind of boring, but I like the premise.
I like the premise too.
And I watch at least one episode.
And I'm looking forward to next season when they go to North Korea and there's a shark and maybe some sort of chemicals in the water.
Right. That'd North Korea would do the real Squid Game.
North Korea should get into the television production business. I like that they can like actually admire good bodies over there in Korea still.
Yeah.
And like Netflix can display it and just be like, oh, we're washing our hands of it. They're Korean. It's their culture, not us.
Right. But you should listen to this new episode of The Daily that I was checking out the other day, where they're talking about how serious they're now taking childhood obesity, in the sense that like if you are a 2 or a 3-year-old and you go in for a meeting with your physician, your doctor, and you are significantly overweight, they are going to put you on like a serious program. Like this is even for a 2 or a 3-year-old. Which
Korea or America?
In America. I'm not sure how fat a 2 or a 3-year-old could even get. But if you're 13, do you know about the Ozempic shots?
Tell me about it.
The Ozempic shots are these like diabetic shots that everybody in fucking Hollywood is on. Elon Musk is on it. The Kardashians are
on
it. It's basically like it was previously just prescribed to people who are diabetic and shit. So it slows down your appetite. It makes it so you're not very hungry, and you eat way less, and you just burn fat like crazy. Like people get on this and they lose like 30 pounds in like a couple months, no problem. And it's becoming like, I know a lot of porn star girls who are on it. I know a lot of normal people who are on it, like random people that like make content, let's just say, like hip-hop personalities and stuff just hit me up, tell me they're on it. I'm just like, what the fuck? Because to me, it seems really crazy, dangerous, and experimental. But apparently, like, the track record for people who are on it is pretty good. Like, there hasn't been a ton of people being really terribly affected by this. But they're now recommending that if a 12 or a 13-year-old goes in and they're overweight, that they should be put on this at, like, age 13.
Is there pushback against that? Not that
was mentioned in the context of that podcast. Although for me, I was kind of astonished and horrified.
Is this the one? Are people getting off of this and then doing crazy things? I've heard about some sort of dietary supplement where that's going on.
Well, you can gain the weight back fairly quickly, I believe, once you get off of it. But the whole thing is like most of these 13-year-olds, and also they're convinced that they've done these tests with like large groups of people, right? And like, one percentage of them, they just sort of leave them to their own devices. And the other percentage of them, they basically are following along with their diet very closely, these like overweight kids, and like really trying to like push the parents in the right direction and everything. And I'm open to the possibility that there are just kids who have significantly worse genetics. So eating healthy and working out isn't going to help that much, and they might still be big. But at the end of the day,
you really believe that? That if a kid, even with bad genetics, eats correctly and works out, he won't gain weight?
I believe there's a spectrum of genetics in which that is possible. But the reality is that before like the 80s or whatever, like 5% of American children were overweight, like at the age of like 13, I think. Like
5%? Where are we now?
It was like 40% or 30%. Mm-hmm. It's like extremely high now. Uh-huh. So, but when I think about it, it's like, it's almost impossible for me to imagine a young kid who could be eating whole foods on a daily basis and exercising and not, you know, consuming sugar and consuming all these terrible fast foods and stuff. I don't understand how the fuck that same kid is going to end up being 300 pounds. I just don't think it's possible.
Think back to when we were kids. You were riding a Mongoose BMX bike around in front of 7-Elevens. I was throwing dirt clods at the slow kid.
Yeah.
That was a form of exercise.
We're now, out and about, yeah.
With these screens, dude, with these screens, with the TikTok, with whatever new game is developed for the PC, for the Xbox, for the mobile phone, that's got to be a big factor in that discrepancy between 5 and your estimated 40% going on right now.
Right.
And like my generation, I came of age when content was just going mobile, when Facebook and Instagram just went mobile. And I feel like in The Empire Strikes Back,
which I will watch in the near future.
You better watch it, you bastard. It's watched coming. A bunch of kids have sex this morning because of you. When the Millennium Falcon flies out of the asteroid that turns out to be a big worm, its mouth and its teeth close, and the Millennium Falcon, just the satellite dish on top, scrapes one of the teeth before it flies out, I feel like I escaped this new world order of just TikTok gazing and just living your life online and not going out and finding a dead bird and throwing it at a girl you like's ass.
Right. And just sort of watching it just clunk into that thing. No, but I think as a parent, it just seems to me like you have to go so out of your way to like have your kid enrolled in a lot of different sports and athletic activities. And then you also have to really be pushing them to make decent choices with food from very early on, because the main question is just, why the fuck is America so fat and all these other countries aren't? And in some of the countries it's pretty easy for me to understand. Like, I've been to, you know, all over Asia, and I just look at what they eat and I'm just like, oh yeah, it totally makes sense.
Dog.
To me. No.
Dog is very lean meat.
A lot of fish, not a ton of carbs. They just eat like very small meals in comparison to us. Mm. Their whole culture is about eating in. Like, they just eat in with their families quite often. When I've been to like China and stuff like that, eating out is this extreme rarity. It totally makes sense to me when I see that. But then you look at like Italy. They have the worst fucking food you could possibly imagine, and they're in dramatically better shape than us.
I just talked to my buddy Leo, who's a big, greasy Italian, and he said, I guess the ingredients they use in Italy are really higher quality.
That's what they say, but how much sense does this make? Even if it's a lot better quality, it's still going to have approximately the same number of calories, right?
I suppose so.
And if that was the case, wouldn't we be able to prove this? Oh, these really nice ingredients won't make you fat, but these basic-ass ingredients, they will make you fat. This doesn't seem like something we could prove.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. I mean, we got to get a couple of yuppies who shop exclusively at Air One and just track their diet versus BMI relative to the construction worker who goes through the Carl's Jr. drive-thru twice a day.
Well, we should remember that living in Los Angeles, that we are massively... That hot people are massively overrepresented to us.
We're pretty overrepresented.
When you go to most parts of the country, there are almost no hot people. That's from what I could tell.
Do you think that we, Adam, and when I say we, I mean me and you. I mean, obviously not Mike over there. Me and you. Do you think we are part of the growing class of West Coast elites, in that you and I...
I think we act like it, even if we...
Oh, I think we're elite, buddy. This is rhetorical.
We got our heads up our asses, even though in reality, to be an elite, I think you would need like a lot more money than either of us have.
Speak for yourself. Mm. Listen, I was listening to Louis C.K. on Joe Rogan. And
I was watching
moment,
some of that too. Yeah.
And there was this moment that's going kind of viral where Joe Rogan's talking about Lex Fridman and Andrew Huberman talking about the optimal sequence of getting in a cold plunge, then hitting a sauna, then doing like 3 hours of fucking whatever, like ultraviolet light therapy.
Right.
Just this super, like, and then going out and doing isolation tank exercises, taking shrooms and Joshua Tree. And Louis C.K. just said, that's a ridiculous conversation. That is symbolic of the excess of Western culture where it stands right now. And I thought about that. And recently I've made efforts to go like carnivore diet, which carnivore diet might be like the number one dietary choice of people who get in saunas and do cold plunges.
Yeah, yeah. Those two things side by side. I'm wondering if in a few years we're going to be talking about the carnivore diet era and the cold plunge era, because it's just like so over-discussed right now that I can't help but feel like we're in an interest bubble that might pop at some point.
Or what if, even worse, it was found that it was exceedingly unhealthy to do both of those things?
I've thought about that as well. There's a part of me that is tempted and like is kind of intrigued by the cold plunge thing, the sauna thing. But I do think that it's kind of like this mentality that people get into where they just obsessively spend all of their time trying to sort of better themselves in these just sort of bizarre ways. And I don't know, it just seems like a weird treadmill of activities to get onto where every night you're going to have a couple hours worth of like warming and then cooling down your body. Like this doesn't, I don't know if this is something I want to like get into. And I totally related to what Louis C.K. was saying, even though I felt like he was maybe having a hard time getting across exactly how he felt about it.
Yeah. He pointed out the douchiness of the conversation that I think a lot of people had missed. We needed somebody like Louis to point it out. But I love what you're saying, that the barrel sauna and the isolation tank, you do too much of that and you are getting so much less done in your daily life that you would have been better off just like jerking off and then watching a sitcom that night.
Yeah.
If it only took up an hour versus 3 hours of morning ritual and journaling and sauna. Because I have a morning ritual I do most mornings.
Right.
And it's gotten so bloated it now lasts 2 hours right when I wake up. And sometimes I think, maybe I could dedicate those best hours of the day that I have because you're fresher in the morning. Maybe there's something more productive I could do versus like taking a gratitude list.
Well, because I was seeing David Goggins talk about his morning routine, and it was pretty absurd from my perspective. You know, he'll go run for 2 hours, then he eats a small breakfast, then he lifts weights for almost 2 hours, then he has like a 2 hour meditation thing, and then he just has all these things that it's easily like 8 hours of self-care in an average day. So if you're a normal person, you've now spent half of your waking hours just sort of making your body better, which, okay, like that's a fine hobby, but like
it's kind of gay if you think about it.
It's super weird, and just like it just seems like it's just so the opposite of productivity, and like you've just sort of gotten yourself into this trap of just self-care that to me I don't really like. Even sometimes I've had days where I'll work out for an hour in the morning and then I get kind of done early here. I get home by 4 and I'll do like an extra 2 hours of cardio. And even that 3 hours out of my day that I've just spent, bettering my body, I'm just kind of like, okay, well, is this really like the best thing that I could be doing with my time? Like, I feel like there's so much I could be putting out there into the world creative-wise, working on this business, making money, et cetera, that it's like what is a decent percentage of my day that I should be spending on taking care of my body? And I don't think that it's 8 hours a day. It might be like 2 hours a day.
Yeah, I was going to say for David Goggins, like, you know, after 6 hours, 8 hours of self-care, when does he have time to work?
What the fuck is he even doing?
Then I realized, like, his work is running a lot and putting himself in cold plunges and then writing about it.
And going on podcasts and talking about it. That is a good point, yeah, because this is this kind of whole lifestyle that he's selling. Also, there's really no telling that he actually does all this every day, because I feel like there's got to be a big incentive to go out there and talk about your lifestyle as if you're the most hardcore motherfucker on earth.
Yeah.
But then in reality, like, are you actually doing this every day?
Yeah.
Now, if anyone's crazy enough to be doing this every day, I would say it's probably David Goggins. But
yeah, you're suspicious, I think, because you've been exposed to a lot of pickup artists. And we've seen all these pickup artists, some of whom have beefed with me and you, that have courses on how to, whatever, sleep with 3 new women every week.
Right.
And I'm fairly certain these guys are themselves virgins. So we're wondering if David Goggins is like, you got to get out there. Don't be a little bitch. You get 5 miles before dawn, 6 miles on the weekends. And maybe he's, you know, enjoying himself a nice piece of cake when he rises on Sunday morning.
Right.
But I think there's like enough anecdotes floating around.
He said that it's cheating if you listen to music while you're running.
He says that?
That's what my girl told me. And that's the funniest thing in the world to me, because the only way I can justify doing 2 hours of cardio is if I'm like listening to a podcast that I was going to listen to anyway.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, well, this is better than me just like sitting on the couch watching this podcast, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got to multitask. If you're running for 3 hours of the day, I mean, you need something in there.
It's like being in, you know, solitary confinement. Why would you want to do that to yourself?
I don't know. You can't have any music. It's a crutch for your mind. You got to be pure. I like David Goggins, though, dude. Like, I read his book. It was cool.
Yeah.
I think there's enough people who have told stories on various podcasts about him that I believe he's crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder if Jocko Willink thinks he's kind of a pussy, though. Because Jocko Willink and him, like, I noticed they don't follow each other. They don't really talk about each other. And Jocko Willink, like, I mean, he threw grenades into office buildings that were occupied by Taliban and,
right,
and fucking wherever. Like, he's gnarly. And David Goggins, I don't think, saw that crazy of combat.
Right.
So sometimes I wonder if there's some, like, Marine guru beef. Or SEAL, Navy SEAL guru beef.
Yeah, there's all kinds of Navy SEALs and Marine dudes, like, dissing each other, making YouTube videos about each other, calling each other pussies and stuff.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Because I saw on Rogan, which for some reason I'm, like, acknowledging having watched all these different Rogan clips that I haven't watched, like, a full Rogan episode in years, to be totally honest. But I was watching David Goggins on that shit talking about how...
You happy, by the way, Phil? You're welcome.
He's got your special hoodie on. What was he talking about? He was talking about... Oh, no. He was talking about a Navy SEAL that called him out and basically, like, questioning his credentials. And David Goggins was so mad talking about it. He starts saying the F word every other fucking word. He's just saying, fuck, fuck it, fight. Like, he's so full of rage
about this dude who's
calling him out. It was fucking wild. It really made me think, like, oh, this guy who's had negative things to say about him may have a point, because otherwise, yeah, why is he so emotionally invested in this?
Yeah, it's like if somebody calls you gay, you're like, I'm fucking gay? Yeah. You're gay, dude. What are you talking about? I get hella pussy. Fuck you, dude. You want to go outside? I'll beat your ass right now.
Yeah.
It's like, you probably suck the dick, bro.
Yeah.
You probably, Phil, are you going to take a photo of Adam here? Yeah, I'm posting on the OSS story. Oh, hell yeah, dude. What's up, everybody? This is awesome. It's. I love the authenticity of bringing in Phil to grab our photos while we're talking. You think the audience can sense that our thumbnails were really communicating ideas?
Well, the other day I was like, I did an interview and Phil didn't get the photo of me during it and he was pissed. And then I was like, Phil, you already took a photo of me doing another interview immediately before that. Just use that one. He's like, okay.
And he was, Phil's like, nah, dude, I'm an artist.
No, but it's still just a picture of me sitting there.
It feels like, nah, you see how long my lens is. This is a 9-inch lens. This camera costs $300,000.
$3,000. No, but I kind of hate it when the shirt I'm wearing in the thumbnail is not the shirt I'm wearing in the interview.
It's tacky.
That's sort of strange.
But do you, I mean, Phil, are you such a purist that if you came in here, we staged these photos in the same outfit, you'd be like, nah, you got I can see the energy in your eyes. It's not the same. Shut up, dude. Go along with this.
It's probably better if
he's. I don't know. What do you hate, Phil? There we go. Damn, that's him reacting to my penis. So, dude, I'm gonna come over there, dude. I'm gonna smash that camera of yours.
What belt are you?
That's right.
White belt. Never mind.
Dude.
Never mind.
What belt are you in photography?
Purple. I'm Danny's jiu-jitsu manager.
That's right.
Basically, is
what
this
is. Guy, we're holding out for a big fight, but someday we're looking for Logan Paul. Gi match in Abu Dhabi. Winner gets to fuck, I don't know.
Mike.
Sure. Right. Yeah, can we set that up?
Oh, our Mike, too. Yeah.
Our Mike, too. I'd actually prefer him, the homegrown asshole.
I was thinking
asshole.
Mike Malok.
I'll take what I can get, dude.
Okay. So this is something that I also wanted to bring up. You ever been to John and Vinny's on Fairfax?
No.
It's like an Italian spot, and they have a giant fucking green COVID wall on the outside, so it's impossible for you as somebody who's driving by to tell that there's actually like a full house of a ton of people eating at any given time.
Hmm.
This is one of the many things we've lost as a result of COVID.
And
we went there. And so we're sitting down, we have a couple.
It's on Fairfax.
Yeah, and they have like a kind of, it's like a smooth hip hop playlist, right?
Okay.
And then they start playing this XXXTentacion song that's like extremely aggressive.
Has he sat on this couch?
That was downtown. That was many studios ago. And
maybe we brought the couch.
And they play this fucking song that lyrically is inappropriate for this restaurant.
Yeah.
It's like really aggressive.
What
and
was
then,
it saying?
I forget. But it
sexual,
was,
drug use?
I think it might have been the let's take a white bitch to Starbucks one. I forget. But
they love Starbucks,
what I'm talking
dude.
About. But,
the white chicks, they enjoy Starbucks.
And so I'm thinking in my head, like, this is odd that they're playing this song right now. And then right as that happened, one of the cooks comes out and gives me and Lena a plate of mozzarella sticks and says, we're big fans of the podcast. They played the song.
Damn.
And I mean, I guess that just came to mind for them.
They played the song.
And I just,
and this is a song. I'm sorry if I'm missing out on some lore
this
here.
Fucking idiot.
Is it?
X is like the biggest rapper of the SoundCloud generation, and I did his first interview in 2016.
Yeah. I know there are ties.
It built the whole channel.
Okay.
Well, it was like the biggest interview I ever did.
Okay.
Biggest hip hop interview of all time.
And he's deceased now.
Yes.
Was this song?
You are retarded. I don't know. Like, how could you be this out of touch?
Well, I want to tread carefully here. I mean, would you rather me just like lean into it? Like, oh,
no,
I love
no,
X,
I mean,
bro.
I guess it's better that you ask.
I love when he put out that song "Dizzy Bird" in 2014, soundtrack of the summer. You know, like when. I don't know, dude.
No, it's good. I like it.
I know that you have history with him, and it was like I did a big interview on this channel.
I just love that I told this story and that it means nothing to you because you don't even know who he is.
You picked but it's okay. the wrong story.
They came out
me.
And they played a song that they assumed would have significance in my life, which is accurate.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. If I go to a restaurant and the cooks are really big fans, they're going to put on like Hands Down by Dashboard Confessional.
Short huge. People got... No reason to live.
Is that the song?
You don't know that song?
It's about killing midgets?
Well, that's a real
song. It's about midgicide?
Wait, who? I forget who. Hold on. AD actually told me about this. Short people. Randy Newman.
Wait, did you get... Because I'd much rather have a comped meal versus a song played in honor of me. Did you get anything for free?
No, I paid full price, and then I tipped like 60% for the mozzarella sticks.
Was it worth it because they played a song?
I just felt like being nice. Hold on, I'm about to hit you with this. As soon as the lyrics come in, watch.
All right, there goes our AdSense for today.
Basically, I don't know why it would ever have been considered acceptable at any point in time for a comedian to create a whole anthem about how short people realistically just shouldn't be alive.
Is he short?
I don't know. Let's look it up. Randy Newman height.
Let's do it. This is
This is my last thing I searched. How old are Zoomers? Because there was a girl that I was talking to on Twitter, and I was about to call her a Zoomer. It's a very expansive group. 6 to 24?
We're 0 for 3 on things I know anything about. Are Zoomers, is that the generation, Z, but now we're on the Zoomer generation?
I guess. I don't know. You want me to read the description?
Yeah, let's go Zoomers.
It refers to the generation born between 1997 to 2012. That is just way too long. 15 years?
Uh-huh.
This generation is also called Zoomers. This puts the age group for Gen Z in the range of 6 to 24 years old in 2021.
You know,
this girl
you're
I was calling a Zoomer, I think, is probably 24. So I was like, okay, I can call her a Zoomer.
Let's decide right now. You probably Zoomed, I'm assuming, with not that many important people. I don't know. You were probably just running operations as normal. I took some improv classes over Zoom. And to me,
he's 6 feet tall, Randy Newman.
So he's advocating genocide.
He write it? Oh, he intended the song to be a satire about prejudice more broadly. The guy in the song is crazy. He was not to be believed. He wrote the song from the point of view of a biased narrator. That occurs to me as something that like our society doesn't really allow for much anymore.
Biased narrators? Satiring?
You can't like write a song and just pretend to be a Nazi.
Yeah, can't
You will be treated as a Nazi.
It's a character. His
all context
Heimlich.
Will be stripped away.
It's all ironic. Yeah.
And even me, someone who really believes in comedy, when I first heard that song, I was just like, how is this possible? How could somebody possibly write a song about how short people don't deserve to live?
You know, it's pretty crazy that type of people, short people, there's no protection. Like when I got canceled... And other times when other people get canceled, the two insults that it's absolutely open season for is little dick energy, you have a small dick, and short midget ass bitch.
And you're gay.
You're gay, too. Does that happen?
Even when
I
was in a room full of trans people, they like a couple of them were repeatedly, Gracie really, was repeatedly making the reference of like, oh, you're gay for like whatever. Like if you show too much interest in something,
yeah,
perhaps you're gay.
Yeah.
So these are like the most woke, most open-minded people on earth.
Uh-huh.
And still the go-to diss is perhaps you like dick.
Yes. That's
what is going on.
And your dick is small and you're short and ugly. Ugly is always in play too. And I just thought, aren't you guys the people who are like behind all these ad campaigns that Target and whoever else is running based on body positivity and not body shaming?
Yeah.
Like Lizzo is an icon we're holding up while subsequently pointing at a guy we deem to be a white supremacist and saying he has a small dick.
I am pro Lizzo in a variety of ways because I just think she seems like she has a pretty good attitude about her obesity. But I mean, Lizzo's body did not get like that by accident. She clearly has like, you know, lived a certain lifestyle to look this way.
Oh, that's different from what you were saying earlier, Mr. Genetics.
Wrong. Myself, if I'm born with a tiny dick, I'm born with a tiny dick. You can't do absolutely anything about it. It's like being born fucking handicapped. That's the ultimate in ableism, is to make fun of somebody for their tiny dick. Now, I have a great news for you.
There's a new surgery.
Can
add an inch.
It is kind of a surgery. No, that's not what we're talking about. I'm watching a video from my boy, More Plates, More Dates, the guy who exposed Liver King. And he has a video that catches my eye. It's a 35-minute video about the effectiveness of penis pumps.
Huh.
Now, this is not something I ever even really thought about. I always thought that this was just pure folklore, that this wasn't something that would ever work.
Yeah.
I click on it. This motherfucker owns like 10 penis pumps, number one. And he's claiming that he hasn't used them in like years and years and years, but he has them. He clearly like went through a time period in which he was fully stretching his penis out. And he makes a good point. He shows a picture of like a fucking African woman with like all these rings on her neck, stretching her neck out.
Yeah.
You know, he shows fucking Phil's earlobes and it's this big hanging thing.
Yeah.
Clearly, if there's skin on your body, that skin can be stretched over time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes into full detail. This motherfucker, More Plates, More Dates, saying you could, if you use it for 1,000 hours, you might be able to gain an inch and a half of cock. 1,000 hours. Now, that is a lot.
1,000 hours, according to Malcolm Gladwell. 10,000 hours
will get you graded. So, well, I don't know what 10,000 is going to do for you.
You'll be Danny D if you use it for 10,000 hours. You'll be a master of cock. But let's break that down. Malcolm Gladwell says 10,000 hours takes roughly 10 years of full time pursuit. Mm. We'll say 40 hours a week. It's going to take a full year, 40 hours a week of penis pump to get an extra inch and a half. Soft or hard?
Well, I was doing this math because apparently one of these. No, you're not hard. You're soft.
And still,
but it's a tube. Like I haven't seen what it looks like when someone uses one because I was just watching him talk about it. But it's like a plastic tube with like a sort of rubber base that goes around your skin, right? And then each one of them has a different mechanism. Whether some of them, it's like a hand pump. So you're actually squeezing this thing like you're at the doctor's office to make it so that it's like pulling the so that there's less air in there. So
yeah, dig, yeah.
And apparently some of these are really like meant to emphasize the length, while some of them are also meant to give you girth as well. And apparently there's some kind of like immediate pump that follows you using this, in the sense that this dude, More Plays More Dates, who I trust and I believe that he, you know, seems like he has his head screwed on straight. He's saying that he would do this before he would go on a date with a woman, and that then if they ended up sleeping together, that his penis would be noticeably much larger when they would have their encounter. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to spend 1,000 hours doing this, but I am
about 800.
I am saying that I am so curious that it kind of feels like at some point I'm going to have to try this.
For me, I don't even want, I don't know what it says about me. I don't even want to use it before I go to Vegas and before I'm potentially going to be hooking up with the girls. I just want to use it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours and then take a naked stroll through my locker room at the gym. Just to let everybody know. You know, just getting
or here.
Can I do it?
I would love that.
Can we have like a boys' day where there's going to be no women present?
I think you should do it at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, during at the end of the day.
Perfect. Who's going to be there? Okay.
AD and Zero.
Okay. Is House Phone going to be here?
That's, he might stop by.
That's all the ammunition he's going to need to shame me publicly forever. But I'm one of those guys, I can't get naked in a locker room. It just doesn't look good.
I would do it briefly. I wouldn't even think twice about it, actually, if I was in a locker room. You know, because I was training at a gym up until a couple of years ago, and it was a small locker room. It's not like there's like 50 fucking people in there. But I mean, if there's somebody else in there, I might turn around. I'm not like trying to show my dick to.
Yeah.
I would probably like face the locker if I was changing.
There are guys.
But you could see my butt.
There are dudes who, there are the guys who go into the stalls. There are stall men. I'm a stall man. I'm a stall man, which is really not a compliment. Sounds like No Plates, No Dates is a stall man too.
It does. When you watch the video, you do start to wonder like, is this like a weird, crazy body dysmorphic self-hate thing? Or is this like a rational analysis of something that you might be sort of lacking in, and it's a fair way to go about working on it? And one of the things that he shows, because I'm not trying to throw him under the bus and say like, oh, he's fucking crazy or anything, because, you know, anybody who's into stuff like bodybuilding or diet or whatever, I mean, you know, it would make sense that you probably also care about the size of your penis, right? Like, I don't find it that big of a stretch. To me, it depends on, like, how uncomfortable it is, how it feels. For me, I have this, like, fantasy in my head where it's going to be sucking on my penis so hard that it would, like, suck the ball into it.
Make your nutsack longer?
No, I don't want that. I feel like that would be, like...
I don't want that either.
Somehow I'm imagining, like, my balls getting stuck in it. It's probably unrealistic. But,
yeah, it's going to be... You're going to have to call an EMT. It's going to be humiliating.
But some of them, you can do it while you sleep. You can leave it on there for 7 or 8 hours while you sleep. I know.
It's progress, dude.
I'm not sure that I think that this is like a healthy thing for anybody's lifestyle.
I'm going to look into it. I mean, you know, I've tried the pills. I've looked into surgery. This sounds like a cheap alternative.
It sucks because I need to watch like more videos now. If I actually want to order one, I have to like really figure out like, okay, which one should I get?
Oh, which penis pump for me? Am I an extra sucker 6,000 kind of guy?
But bro, he shows a video of Johnny Sins denying that there's anything that an adult male can do to make his penis larger.
Johnny Sins just doesn't want the competition.
I think Johnny Sins was already gifted, so he doesn't, you know, he probably doesn't think. And also, I mean, realistically, 1,000 hours to gain an inch is almost like it's impossible, because that is so much for a relatively small adjustment. But I don't know, maybe.
Johnny Sins just torpedoed his future in slinging dick pills, which was really a dumb move.
Well,
I mean, that sustained Ron Jeremy before he went to prison.
That is a good point.
That was his thing. He just sold dick pills everywhere. Just Ron Jeremy approved.
Have you noticed what I do? I do the dick pill ads, and then I do podcasts like this where I'll say that I've never taken one.
When you say dick pills, are you talking about sexual enhancers, or are you talking about size enhancers?
I haven't seen the size enhancer pills. Those exist as
Those exist.
Oh, wow.
I did a video on it long ago. But they have pills on the internet which claim that your dick is actually going to grow. And they're very careful about this.
I have a hard time believing.
Well, it's impossible. It's not going to. What they do is they just increase blood flow, and that's the legal loophole. Is there some evidence that this nitrous oxide or whatever they're putting in your system will make your erection harder, which I guess technically makes your dick bigger, but it's not going to you're not going to sprout 3 inches. You aren't going to hit a second puberty because fucking xhamster.com sold you an ad in the sidebar.
But I did see More Plates, More Dates having a conversation about things that you potentially could take while you're like young and going through puberty that you could potentially take that would make your penis larger while you're going through that, which I'm watching him like, I think it was mostly like a dude telling him about like these different compounds that he had been made familiar with. And I'm like, okay, absolutely not. Imagine that existed. You have like fucking 13-year-old kids ordering shit from some ad they heard about on a podcast.
It's gonna be one of those baseball dads who's like, all right, listen, Ralphie, after we go hit grounders for 3 hours, I got a special supplement I want you to try out. Okay. Like, it's gonna be a dad trying to make his son's cock bigger.
But if your dad had like chained a padlock to your penis and like sort of just done a bunch of weird stuff for you throughout your childhood to make your penis bigger, do you think you would resent him for it?
I didn't
it?
Get the padlock. You mean like dangle it so it stretches it out?
This is something
that's
nice. I don't know if there's any kind of truth to this, but I used to hear that there were people who would do this, who would take like a padlock or something heavy and have some sort of device where they could strap it to their penis head and they'd be carrying it around all day to stretch their dick out, which is honestly kind of like a lo-fi version of what we're talking about with the penis pump. Because one other thing that More Plays with Dates was saying, which I need to like figure out what his first name is so I can stop calling him this, but some kind of like hanging thing where it might be like, I don't know exactly what it would look like, but there'd be like a setup that maybe your penis is like attached to, and then you're using your body weight to drop down and pull on the skin and ideally stretch the skin, which sounds terrifying.
It sounds very dangerous, but it also sounds like you could shave maybe 100 hours on that 1-inch gain.
If you got comfortable sleeping with it, though, I feel like it wouldn't be that bad.
I think it's something I need to look into, dude, because
the pump.
My limp cock...
Swolby, maybe, too.
...is the problem. I will maintain Swolby. I think he's got an average penis. I think I wouldn't mind that extra inch, though.
Yeah. I do think you would probably have an average penis in like a kindergarten.
That is so insulting and so not true. I'm not going to laugh along with this.
Because
in a kindergarten,
might be some male teachers at the kindergarten who have huge cocks that kind of offset the balance there.
But you were referring, when you first made that very cruel joke, you're referring to just the student body, just the students' bodies. You think I would be at the 50th percentile of the average kindergartner? That's what you're saying to me right now to my face.
No, I think that if you were in a penis contest at a kindergarten, you would win. And let
oh,
us all
nice
pray that this does not take place.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
Sadly, I don't think it's true, though, because I heard about, there's a guy in our squad, you've seen his penis, in Lanigi, who is a nurse, or he's one of those offshoots of nurse that's not like an RN that makes 120 grand a year and has all these benefits. He's one of the... I don't mean to insult you, Iggy, but he's a little bit lower down than that, and he occasionally has to go into a hospice home, wipe the drool off a human vegetable's face, or maybe clean an old guy's shit diaper.
And this has what to do with his penis size.
Because, okay. Hear me out. I'm bringing it all back to kindergarten penis. Okay. Don't you worry, Mr. Go Watch Kids, Danny, at 7 a.m.
I like how you're making kids sound like it's cuties.
It pretty much is, right?
No.
There's underage sex in kids. But to get back to the point here.
Simulated.
To get back to the point, I heard from a reliable source it was real. In Lanigi has a kid who he might be in first or second grade, so that's a couple more years to grow, to be fair. But he is the son of an ex-NFL player. He's very badly handicapped.
In Lanigi's son is the son of an ex-football player.
No, that wouldn't make any sense. Okay. In Lanigi is the nurse, the personal nurse, a very handicapped child of an ex-NFL player.
Got
that was
it.
My
okay.
fault. I made that
okay.
not very clear.
Sorry.
The child is black, and there are some stereotypes associated with that. Inel and Iggy, the first day they work together, has to take this kid into the bathroom to supervise a urination. And I guess it is 7 inches limp and just giant.
Oh, no.
This first or second grade kid's penis, which, if I didn't know that, I would say, hell yeah, Adam. Find me the nearest kindergarten. I'll go drop trow today. You know, I'll go show these kids who's got the big willy in town. But I'm not so sure I want to do that.
Because you know that there's at least one out there that has crushed.
Absolutely, dude. If fucking, Terrell Owens' son is roaming around third grade with a fucking 12-inch hard on, it's an issue for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know anything about that, but I do know that my friend Catfish is a white guy who is probably 5'2", and he's a BMX guy. And if you were to look at him, you would probably certainly never think that he has one of the biggest penises ever. And that thing would be soft, hanging down like this, dude.
Damn.
And he would show us like all the time just for the hell of it.
Damn.
And yeah, it was freaky. Like I don't know. Normally you would think that it would be a large man who would have such a large dick. And he's a tiny man with a gigantic dick.
Sometimes I want to ask Cindy's opinion on these matters. Sometimes I wish we had some female input on the show. Exactly. She is an innocent employee. All we got is Mike over there. We could sexually harass him until the cows come home. But is that something you believe? Because I know you're a very religious man, Adam. Do you believe that God gives short men large penises?
On average, no. I feel like there's probably some connection between height and penis size overall.
I don't.
You don't think there's any connection?
Because I used to train martial arts up in Sacramento with Team Alpha Male, who were famously lightweight, short guys. The average height on Team Alpha Male was like 5'6" during their heyday when I was up there. And all those dudes, it was kind of bullshit. They just all had hammers. Especially this one guy, don't ask me why I've seen his penis, this guy Lance Palmer, dude, him and I, we might have been in a scenario one night where I saw his penis hard. This guy's about 5'5", just a complete muscled up Adonis, though. It fucking, his penis looked like a fucking full-grown monitor lizard.
Don't you think that a person who goes into MMA on average is going to have a higher testosterone level on average?
And that affects your penis now?
I think so.
We got a lot of theories. I think suction, testosterone.
The time in your life in which your penis grows, I believe, is primarily puberty. When your body is being pumped full of testosterone. So I think that you might have a little biased sample size there.
What if your parents were showing you, like, a lot of, like, old Mary-Kate and Ashley movies, the week you hit puberty and your testosterone count was really low and your dick was, like, 3 inches shorter?
That is the funny part, is that once you get to, like, 40, there's all these things you're supposed to do to make your fucking testosterone level go up, but they're all, like, kind of shaky, like... Is this the whole thing of like put your phone in the other room and shit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like when you're fucking 13, your testosterone levels are just shooting through the roof for no fucking reason. You're mad as fuck. You just want to bang everything that walks.
Just jerking off all over your bedroom, and you put the tissues underneath a cabinet, and you think that you'll go clean them up later, and you forget. Then your mom finds them.
Your mom ever catch you jerking off?
Really close, but I think I got it in the waistband. She probably was suspicious that I was jerking off, but I was not dead to rights caught.
Right.
Did you get caught?
Not so much that they actually knew what I was doing, but definitely probably where they like suspected that I was up to something.
The same thing.
But my mom walked in on my high school girlfriend giving me oral sex with a can of whipped cream when I was 16.
That is deviant behavior.
I was turning 16, and for some reason, this was her idea. She brought over a can of whipped cream, and she was giving me head with it, and I was overjoyed. And then my mom walked in. She didn't just walk in and say, like, hey, cut it out, and then close the door. She said, hey, cut it out, and then stood there and just made it uncomfortable. And I was like, Mom, get the fuck out of there.
I'm about to finish.
And then my girl's like, shut the fuck up. Like, she was yelling at me for yelling at my mom.
Uh-huh.
She's like, you're making it worse.
Uh-huh.
I was upset.
What is there? Can you possibly? I feel like there's a one right way to talk your way out of that situation, and I can't quite find it right now. All the whipped cream. It's my birthday. You're like, Mom, it's my birthday. And Allison and I were eating vanilla ice cream cake, and she threw up.
This is my question. When your kid is 16, like, if they're in a relationship at 16. So it's like them hooking up or whatever is like the most normal thing in the world, right? What do you like, what do you do as a parent? I have no idea what I would do.
Well, it depends on the race and religion of their significant other.
And their weight.
And their weight. And their political affiliation.
And their belt.
And you know, but I see, this is weird.
You need to have a kid so we can have something more to talk about on here. Because you not having a kid, I feel like we hit some dead ends where it's like I'm talking about being a parent, and you're just like, I don't know, I might go to a party this weekend.
I wish. I'm so much bored. If I was out getting pussy actively, that would be better. I mean, that would be awesome if I was just a complete degenerate that was still out chasing ass.
For your content or just your life in general?
Definitely for the content. I think the content would eventually decline, though. Mm. But the thing about getting pussy in a 16-year-old, I mean, I was very...
Rephrase that.
The thing about having sex with 16-year-old girls, my parents and I, we never talked about sex. And I think it did make my relationships with women really awkward and really stunted. Mm. Like, I didn't have serious, healthy relationships with women until, like, late in my 20s. Mm. It was pretty bad. So I think they're just completely turning a blind eye and not talking about it isn't the right thing. But then also, designating your house as the house that the teenagers can party and fuck at, it's probably not good either.
Well, if you were going to be allowing, let's say you have a 16-year-old son and he has a 16-year-old girlfriend, if they were going to be spending time alone, it would pretty much be on you to communicate with the parents. Like, let's say they're going to sleep over, which is like a situation in which you could probably assume they're going to hook up, right?
Yeah.
It's like there has to be that communication with the parents of, like, are we okay with this? Which even then, it feels weird as fuck because you're like okaying your kids getting into that in your house. But at the same time, I mean, they're going to do it one way or another. Yeah. I was fucking my girlfriend in high school in the car. Yeah. Badass. I mean, that's not better. I could have gotten in trouble.
Dude, this is something I talked about briefly with these guys. My cameraman, like, he almost got sexually assaulted by a gay bartender this weekend.
Wow.
It's
Yeah, how did that go down?
I have a bunch of footage that I still have to cut together that we're going to review on the Leo and Danny Show podcast, so I don't want to, like, double dip too much. Okay. But basically, like, I mean, it's still an interesting story. He got so blacked out at a bar this weekend in Palo Alto, and a bartender walked him back to our hotel. But what the bartender didn't know is that during that walk back, Nico, our cameraman, was on the phone with us because he'd called us at the bar, forgot he was on the phone, and put the phone in his pocket. So we have a dialogue of this 1 mile walk, and creepy shit is being said. At one point, the guy's like, I wanted to take you in the alley, and you said no. Now we're in danger of getting stopped by the fucking cops. If they stop us and ask anything, repeat after me. You're my gay lover. You're my gay lover, okay?
So that's the bartender followed him when he left the bar to tell him this.
Yes.
Wasn't he working?
Maybe somebody else stepped
in. Like the bar closed?
We
and
have
then
no
he was
idea.
Able to leave?
Nico was completely incoherent. We have no data on what happened in the bar.
And Nico's mind is completely closed to having sex with bartenders?
So
Do we know that?
He won't admit publicly to having desires to fuck bartenders.
Okay.
He won't do it publicly.
Male bartenders.
Male bartenders. But that made me realize that, like, I mean, we were worried. We had to scramble and go down to the lobby. The cops at one point were notified of what was going on.
You went there to save him from a sexual assaulter.
Well, the good news is the bartender did not rape him. The bartender did deliver him to the hotel, but the bartender then fled the scene after he dropped Nico off. So did
well, we
Nico
know
get
where
raped?
He works.
We not really. I mean, we can talk to Nico about it, but
you got to go back to that bar.
Video content. Confront the bartender.
Right.
Play the tape for him. That's a great idea.
Right.
But that just made me realize that, like, I mean, we were genuinely worried for Nico that he was going to have his little tushy pounded out. Imagine having a daughter. Imagine being a girl. Gays are, what, 8% of the population? Fucking 92% of the population is out there being potentially creepy.
Right.
If you're a woman, because they're straight.
I got a good one about this. So my mom has this friend, this guy that she knows from England back in the day, right? And apparently he has some kind of deformity. So
can you be more specific?
I haven't seen him, but my sister told me that there's some sort of birth defect that this guy has, right? But my mom became friends with him like 40 years ago, right? Just like really became friends with him while she was visiting London or something, and, like, you know, has had this sort of, like, on and off, like, conversation based friendship over the years where they've always sort of stayed in touch a little bit. And my sister's going to London, and my mom was really stressing to her, you should go spend some time with this guy. You should see him. You should go to lunch, whatever. And so my sister starts talking to him, and she immediately realizes that this guy is head over heels in love with my mom.
Wait, have your mom and him met face-to-face?
Yeah, they've been around each other and stuff, but it was always while my dad was around, you know? Like, but so my sister's basically having this realization while she's on this phone call with this dude that this dude is, like, obsessed with my mom, and that my mom is, like, the one that got away, and that he's most likely been maintaining some degree of communication with her over the years, basically waiting for either my father to pass away or for them to get divorced or for her to just have a change of heart or something, become more open to adultery, I guess.
It happens as you grow older.
And that was just so fucking crazy to me. And I realized that that kind of mirrors the experience of every woman in every walk of life doing anything where you think that you're forming actual friendships with men and that they care about you and that you have some kind of like real bond, and then you find out, no, actually they've been waiting 40 years to try to fuck you.
Oh my God. There are wolves surrounding a campfire of settlers waiting for the embers to burn out, because you know the wolves, they're scared of the fire. They don't know what it is, but when that burns out, it's what was his deformity?
I'm not 100% sure. My sister just said he has some kind of defect.
I'm imagining a hunchback, like, forgive the peg leg. It is so honor. It's such an honor to see you, Miss Grandmason. I await the arrival of your mother to these shores once again. I'm imagining some just hunchbacked English peasant guy.
Have you ever found out something about your parents later in life that really dismayed you? That just really blew your fucking mind and made you realize that your parents were fundamentally different than what they had been basically telling you that they were your whole life?
My dad is kind of a saint. His craziest shit he did is he just got in a lot of fights and stuff when he was in college. Like, because he was on the wrestling team. He was kind of a frat douche. But I would not be surprised to learn he's been entirely faithful to my mother for the duration of their, 34-year marriage.
Right.
My mom seems like she might have, done some sexual stuff without too much discernment when she was younger.
You think she might have had a Lana Rhodes phase?
You mean porn? What did Lana Rhodes do in particular? What's the Lana Rhodes phase? That seems to be like a capitalized thing that people know about.
Well, I mean, she was like a really, really pretty girl who came in the game and pretty much got like gangbanged by like 10 dudes right away and like drank a bowl of piss on camera and stuff like
that. She did?
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't know she did that.
And I think it adds a different element to it for people because they can watch it and know that she regrets it. Because she had a podcast where she like cried her eyes out talking about it. So I don't know how much of a W that is for dudes. Like, do dudes like the fact that she regrets it? Does that make this more appealing to her? Because she was very popular even before she sort of had this change of heart.
And Lana Rhodes is known, for people who don't know, she's like a fashion model type beauty who did porn, which is pretty rare.
And the other day I saw one of her clips on Pornhub and it was titled supermodel level woman, yada yada, and it just makes you realize that, like, think about the people in the porn world who had been working in the porn world for years and years and years, and then this girl comes along and has no fucking clue and it's just like, yeah, I'll do it, I'll do the 10 guy gangbang, I'll drink the bowl of piss, sure, I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
And they're all just like, okay, like they're realizing like, oh, I'm gonna be monetizing this shit for 20 years. And then meanwhile she's like a 20 year old chick coming to the game, 18, 19, I don't know how the fuck old she was. I mean, is there some kind of like counseling or training that maybe she should be subjected to before that, so that it's not like she's just completely just entering into the lion's den and having no fucking clue what's waiting for her, you know?
There should be some pornography onboarding presentation.
I felt like I was pretty upfront with Sky Bree when she got in the game, but I probably could have been more upfront.
When she drinking a bowl of piss, dude?
She didn't do that. Luckily.
Have you advised her to do it at this point in her career?
No, but I will show you something right now.
What are the point? Because also I want to be completely forthcoming with the audience. I will go home and I will probably look up and masturbate to Lana Rhodes drinking the urine. I didn't know she did that, but I fully intend to masturbate to it.
I love that for you. But then also, thank like you. So Sky Bree, who again we manage and I got her in the game, she she went on a podcast and said this.
We're going to listen to Sky.
Paul stuck his fingers up her ass 10 minutes after she took a shit, and he put them in my mouth, and I
did they say Jake Paul?
I didn't know it was Jake Paul.
And the whole room smelled like shit afterwards. Basically, I'm a rider. You know, I didn't like enjoy the taste of her shit.
What did it taste like? Could you compare it to a
dude? Tasted exactly how it smells. Jake Paul.
Jake Paul, they told that story on our podcast, and they weren't comfortable enough at the time to release the Jake Paul name. Okay. So, I mean, that would have done us some views, and I'm a little upset they withheld
Cuff
that.
Cuff boys are out here having a moment.
They fucking are. That wasn't on camera, though. That wasn't
no,
on
it
camera.
Wasn't on camera. Jake Paul, you think Jake Paul's letting people make porno movies with him?
No, I'm sure he's probably not overly thrilled that they released that information. But if there were a porn onboarding, like if you, a new Lana Rhodes came waltzing into the studio and she agreed to be signed by you, what would you instruct her to do and not do?
Well, these are the I'm not going to tell her what to do or what not to do. I'm just going to tell her that these things will happen. Some percentage of your family will disown you. It hasn't happened to me, but I've heard about it happening to a lot of people. You will have to read like a Facebook thread where, like, you know, 200 people you went to high school with talking shit about you.
Yeah.
And basically acting as if you've like sold your soul to the devil.
Uh-huh.
And it's just not going anywhere. And God forbid you become popular, because that's really not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you are irrelevant and you make no money, then the world might forget to some degree. But if you're Lana Rhodes, it's
there.
You're riding with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The thing about that, though, is if you make enough money, it doesn't matter if the world knows, because you don't have to work again.
Yeah, and that's why people need to be honest with themselves. Maybe you're hot enough that it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Are you honest with women when they come to you and try to get signed?
Lana Rhodes, I just remembered. Am I honest with them? Yes, because I don't want... Because if you were to, like, sort of hoodwink a girl and, like, have her get into the porn game and not tell her what she's actually in for...
Yeah.
It's not going to be worth it. Like, because, like, you're going to film their first scene and then she's going to be hitting you up telling you to not put it out.
Yes.
And all this other shit. You're going to put it out. She's going to try to get you to take it down. It's just like,
yes,
all these things that I would rather prepare for in advance.
Yes.
Rather than deal with it afterwards.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's probably how I would handle that.
As far as extreme acts, because I got the impression that the Lana Rhodes drinking piss, I mean, maybe it was a genius career move. Which, in what other career can you say that's a genius career move, just to drink a bowl of piss?
Maybe if you're like a Steve Will Do It style shock entertainer, I don't know.
Yeah, not like a foreman at a warehouse. Though that might get the respect of your employees. Your underlings might look up to you. But, I mean, do you talk to Sky Brain and be like, you know, triple anal, Adriana Chechik gets away with it, cool it on triple anal for the first couple of years? Or is that something you're okay with?
I think she's not doing triple anal, but she did do double vaginal, which I know you're a fan of.
Mm. She did?
Yeah. Multiple times, I think.
Big cocks?
I don't know.
She did. She had sex with Dredd. So clearly there's no taboo with... I remember from watching early porn documentaries, there was taboo surrounding interracial. And it was something that managers would tell girls to hold out on until later in their career.
Right.
I don't know why. But is it supposed to be like... I remember Chris Jocelyn saying once, the skater who's known for doing gnarly flip tricks down big gaps. He said he thought he could three flip El Toro, which is the Mac Daddy of gaps in the skate world. Pretty much in every biking, scootering. He didn't want to do it early, though, in his career, because he knew there would be no ascension past that. Is Real Sky Bree waiting for a triple anal followed
really
by a piss bowl? He said that.
Is the tray flip the last trick that you're ever going to learn? And you know, it's like that's just like I understand that for some people, because I filmed the first ever bar spin down El Toro, and I did kind of feel like that with that dude. Like, oh, like we've just been watching you bar spin shit for so long, and it's like, where the fuck do you go from here? But I feel like skateboarding has so many tricks. Like a tray flip in and of itself is such a random flip that you could think of like 10 other flip tricks that you're going to learn before tray flips, and then like 100 that you're going to learn after that, right?
Yeah. But I guess the thing is, if it's El Toro, like it needs to be your A-plus go-to trick. Like Jocelyn isn't going to learn nollie backside heel flips and then throw one down at 20.
Yeah, true.
And then also, El Toro is pretty much the limit of what the human body can take.
Because
as far
I saw Jaws saying 15 feet is where his body taps out.
Huh.
15 feet. He said anything beyond that, it just becomes like... too much absorption on your body.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised to hear that because I felt like it always kind of like matters how fast you're going.
Sure.
And I feel like if you're going fast enough that you could kind of drop off like a lot of different heights.
Yes.
But maybe that's not true.
Yeah. Like what you're saying is if you acid drop off a loading dock that's 20 feet high and you go straight down.
There's no way in hell. Yeah.
You're
done. But if you're going 20 miles per hour, then
it reduces the impact, right? The downward impact.
I would think.
And 15 feet doesn't sound like that much because we've seen Jaws do the Lion 25 or whatever that is.
I can send you this video on Jankum, but they measured the leap of faith. Mm-hmm. Which is like the biggest gap that I think anybody had tried at that time.
Jamie Thomas made it famous in like the late 90s.
Right.
Down in San Diego. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, they fucking ruined it. But there's another guy who did another gap that's just like it in Miami. Maybe not quite as good because it's like you don't have to jump out as much, but it's like almost exactly the same height. And he did it like perfect. I don't even think his hand touched the ground. It's like unbelievable that he fucking did this shit. So, yeah, but I mean, I guess that's good to know because what would a 20-foot drop to flat look like? I'm pretty sure it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I want to know how big the Lion set is.
The 25. Jaws, yeah, I think that's around 15 or so. Like, I think that's what Jaws was saying.
Which, again, like if you asked me, I'd be like, oh, that's 22 feet. But it's an interesting
idea. That thing's super long in comparison to like the Leap of Faith, which is like kind of like you don't really have to clear too much far.
Yeah. Maybe it's been using its penis pump. It's an interesting idea, though, the idea that you don't want to peak too soon as any kind of artist. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, because if I love an artist, like I just got that novel I was telling you about by Bret Easton Ellis, where fucking once again a bunch of underage kids are having anal sex in it. But that book, it's not as good as my favorite by him, like American Psycho, which is his masterpiece. He's never going to write another one that good. Joseph Heller wrote Catch 22, his debut novel, never came close to it again. But if you really like the person's stuff, there's no problem watching Chris Jocelyn ghetto bird a 15 stair instead of three flipping a 20. Like, it's still cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think as time goes by with every BMX rider or skateboarder I've seen, like you can have this period in your life in which the way that you're challenging yourself is by doing huge shit and drops. And even, you know, like I'll see a dirt jumper who's like every fucking week he's coming out with a new trick that he's inventing over and over and over. And you can do that. But then at a certain point, you're going to get hurt and it's going to catch up to you.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to figure out a style that is a little bit more sustainable. I've seen this happen to like even the best bike riders. And, you know, sometimes it's not pretty because you'll have some guy doing like flat ledge lines that you really don't want to see doing flat ledge lines. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like somebody who's going to be dope for the long run. That's pretty much what you have to figure out.
Yeah. Andrew Reynolds is an example. Like, he kept putting out video parts after he peaked, quote unquote, but it's still tight to see a legend like changing his game up a little bit.
You know, the standard goes down so much once you're like not that dude anymore. Where it's like I could do a feeble 180 on my bike right now, like the easiest trick possible, and a lot of people would be really hyped on Instagram because they haven't seen me do a bike trick in years.
And you and I have been talking about this recently, that part of what we do just necessitates a lot of people hating us and talking a lot of shit about us. But it seems even more intimate and more damaging if you're a young woman in porn, because you haven't had a lot of chance to develop your personality. Like, you and I have lived enough and have enough self-esteem and can separate ourselves from our work and be like, all right, we're public figures. We do this thing. It doesn't define us. If somebody talked a lot of shit about our last video or something we slipped on a podcast, it's okay. The sun will rise tomorrow. But a lot of these girls, when they're 22, all they have is their perceived notion of self-beauty. And when people are shitting on that, or when a scumbag porn producer makes them do something they really, really regret, I feel like that can fuck with them in a way that's like being a YouTuber, but 10 times worse.
Because I sometimes will have these conversations with these girls, and I realize at some point that they have very little life experience aside from sex work.
Yeah.
You know, and bro, this problem is getting worse because even I'm interviewing this girl, Coco Bliss, right? She's like a popping TikToker, and she's like a rapper boyfriend for a period of time and all this kind of shit. And I'm talking to her, and she's talking about how she had 60,000 Instagram followers when she was in high school before she turned 18. And she was pumping up her OnlyFans and hyping it up before she turned 18. She turns 18, she drops it. And it was almost kind of like a heartening tale because the fact that she was super broke, like dead broke, and then she starts an OnlyFans, doesn't post nudity or anything, I don't think. And within like, you know, a couple weeks or months, she's like living in like a nice apartment. Yeah. So it's kind of nice that she was able to like get herself out of poverty. It's kind of weird that it hinged on her A, building up a fan base based on her looks while she was in high school, and then dropping an OnlyFans like as soon as she turns 18. And I said to her, I'm like, so you're doing like share for shares with all these girls, posting photos of each other, shouting each other out, and none of them knew that you were in high school. She's like, yeah, nobody asked. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. Uh-huh. Wow. That's, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like a weird world we live in.
Yeah. I was talking to my girlfriend about this, and my girlfriend makes significantly more on her OnlyFans, which she barely puts... She doesn't take full time seriously right now. It's pretty in its infancy stages. Makes way more money on that, which she only works on for maybe 3 hours, 4 hours a week, versus her restaurant job, which she works nearly full time. And you have to ask, like, what kind of message does that send, or what kind of character will that eventually build in some women? I'm not saying all of them. Like, there are plenty of women who know exactly what they're doing. They're very savvy business women. They get into it knowing the risks and rewards. But I mean, like, I had to suck dick in restaurants in San Francisco and in Vegas before I had any money to my name. And that makes me value money a whole lot more because I know how hard it can be to get. Yeah. And I don't take it for granted. If you're the day you turn 18, you have $300,000 waiting to be deposited in your bank account. Are you going to save? Are you going to invest? Are you going to be responsible for the time when the time comes when old age takes away your ability to make that kind of money?
I mean, yeah, but this isn't in comparison to like going to college and having a career. This is in comparison to like stripping or, you know, selling ass. That's like realistically, these are probably like the main other two options that somebody in this position might go into. But anyway, I want to pivot and get to the final thing that I want to talk about today, which is, have you seen these AI babes?
You guys were talking about them when I walked in.
Oh my God.
AI is for people, it's artificial intelligence, and babes is a slang term for chicks.
It's
a slang term for women.
I'm not going to attempt to show these on camera because
give me the AI babe.
But I posted it 3 hours ago on Twitter, so if you guys scroll back to like things I posted Monday morning on Twitter, take a look at these girls.
Give it to Papa Mullen.
These are all AI. And I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. These are like probably like top 1% hottest chicks on earth.
When you say they're AI, what does that mean?
They don't exist. There was like, you know, they're made from images of other women, essentially.
They're composites put together by a computer.
Yeah, these people do not exist.
They do not exist. So are these at some point going to be... Are there going to be videos that we can masturbate to of fake women?
I mean, I assume that there already are to some extent, or at least like, you know, there's something similar in the works, I would assume.
The one on the left, she looks like she might have some sort of, I don't know, mental condition. I think they whoever the programmer was, I think he skimped on his responsibilities with the one on the left's face.
Let me see the one on the left.
Yeah, check out the one on the left's
face. The one on the left? Oh, well, you didn't say that there was four photos? Oh, you just went, okay.
Yeah, that one there. There's something to be desired. That's not what I would call the perfect woman.
Well, okay.
She looks like she might have been hit by a kitchen object.
There's something weird about all these where it's like apparently the AI has decided that the best type of boob is a boob that is bulging out of the fucking bikini top. That it's like
the AI happens to be right.
It's tiny. All these boobs really look almost exactly the same. But I could tell you, like, off rip right there, like this girl.
Yeah.
If this girl was real, this girl would be one of the most famous OnlyFans models ever. Mm-hmm, like with this fucking fake face that this guy created for her. I don't know. It's like pretty crazy. So this is my question that I want to ask: is just your gut reaction? If there was porn of these people, these images that you just saw, would you watch it? Or do you think that the fact that they are not real, would that fundamentally hurt your ability to enjoy it?
I think it would fundamentally hurt my ability to enjoy it. And I feel like even if it was seamless and you could not tell the difference, I feel like it wouldn't be all that exciting because there already are so many porn stars who are so close to quote-unquote perfect, and we jerk off to them once and then move on to the next one oftentimes.
There's some truth to that. But what if the AI gets so finely tuned that, you know, maybe you don't love these girls, but you can, like, very easily find the ideal woman, like the perfect woman in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Does the fact that there was no emotional or physical labor put into creating these images, does that affect how you would feel about jerking off to it? Because I know there's a lot of people who watch hentai. Mm-hmm. I don't really understand. I don't think I could jerk off to it, but then again, I haven't tried, and I have, you know, it's something I found out about much later in my life. Mm-hmm. Is there an extent to which, like, a, you know, a 15-year-old kid who sees those images, or if there was high quality porn of it, is that going to just not matter to him at all, and he's going to have no problem using that instead of real porn? Because it could have big ramifications on the rest of society.
Right. You're so right, dude. The hentai thing, I was going to say that I think the human brain, it needs something real to jerk off to. Yeah. Just like your loads are bigger when you're not wearing a condom versus wearing a condom. Because some unconscious part of your brain knows when a real woman is in the picture. It knows when she's ovulating. Mm. It knows what she's been doing, even. Like, it's proven if your girlfriend is out of town for a while, you shoot bigger loads and have a harder orgasm because you're trying to win a sperm war against other hypothetical men who may have impregnated her when she was out of town. Mm. So, like, it seems like the human body is looking for realness when it's jerking off or having sex. But then again, you raise a good point. There are tons of fucking losers who watch that was such a sweeping generalization. There are a lot of upstanding young men who love to masturbate to tentacles going up anime chicks' twats.
Right.
They're really, really awesome dudes. I like them a lot.
To me, it makes me question my own motives because, you know, throughout all these years jerking off, there always has just been...
You've had a good career.
Yeah, for sure. There's always been this assumption that these girls just really are enjoying this so much, and they're doing this because they want to be doing this. And doesn't that kind of like, or at least they're doing it because the money is so tantalizing. And isn't that like human exchange of goods and services? Isn't that part of why you like it? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm kind of wrestling with in my head right now, ever since I saw these images, because I'm not sure that I really like want to like take the leap of jerking off to AI porn, but I'm just sort of questioning why I have this sort of fundamental rejection of it.
Well, because that's going to affect your ability to feed yourself, buddy. I'm sorry to let you know.
But will it? Will it affect it like by 1%, or will it affect it by like 100%?
I don't know. Did Blockbuster Video think Netflix was going to affect them by 1 or 100%?
But do you? Could you? I could see it making a small dent in porn,
dude. There's going to be.
But could it make a giant dent in porn? I'm very skeptical.
Dude, I'm going to get a programmer to make an AI version of me with a cock that's exactly 1 inch longer than yours.
Ooh.
And I'm going to have fucking.
I have a pump that will get you there.
Yes.
Wait. You didn't notice about these two? Is that the hands are fucked? It can't make the hands look normal.
Oh, yeah,
yet.
That's a deal breaker. I'm a real hands guy when it comes to chicks.
But it is kind of creepy.
I need silky proportioned.
I have like mutant hands. Like somehow, and I don't know why they can't just like go into the AI. Actually, to be honest, they're not as bad as I was remembering, but they're fucking weird. And I don't know why they can't just like go in afterwards.
Yeah, but part of me is comforted by this, and maybe you too, and anybody who's listening who's works hard as an aspiring entrepreneur wants to make something in themselves. It seems to me that we're moving toward a world where it seems to me that the empire of America has peaked as far as productivity and as far as developments in technology, sciences, et cetera.
And we're doing this now.
Now we're jerking off to AI. Now people, and it's true, like TikTok is propaganda. In China, TikTok content is necessarily educational and right. It has a limit on how much you can watch. Here, they're just pumping up the garbage. We're glued to our phones. Companies are making money, but the average citizen is rendered... I mean, we're neutralized. Most people are just completely neutralized by their phone. Their productivity drops by an ungodly percentage every day. That does give me a little bit of comfort to know that, like, okay, so much potential competition in business, in porn, in whatever else is wiped out by people who can't stop looking at their phone. And this is just going to accentuate that.
Have you ever beat off to a story?
Yeah.
Or like a painting?
Wait.
You or mean a song?
You mean an Instagram story, or do you mean like the Three Little Piggies?
Have you ever jerked off to a song? No, not
yeah,
an Instagram
I've
story.
I've jerked off to
like
a song.
Like words.
Yeah. No, I've jerked off. I've jerked off to a song. Is that jerking off to words?
Well, now I'm just like getting a little bit more abstract with it. If I could beat off to, you know, the AI renderings of the perfect woman, couldn't I jerk off to a painting?
I'm trying to think. A nice landscape?
I mean, I don't know what. No, I'm thinking a painting of a woman. A hyper-realistic painting, or what about a flip book? I haven't seen a good flip book in a while.
A good flip book porn? Dude, that's going to be... I think that's what's going to happen, dude. I think that's now that we've moved back to paleo, you know, we're going back to the caveman roots. We now have, instead of laptops, we have tablets, which is how they wrote on things in ancient Rome. I think we're going to go back to porn as it was in the Renaissance, which is you pay some guy who's pretty damn good at the quill to draw you a chick with big titties and you fucking spank it next to the aqueduct. I think that's what we're moving back toward.
I'm down.
I'm down too, brother.
Let's go beat off.
Lena Rhodes, drinking piss. Homework.
Slizzlers.